The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, growing up, I had no particular interest in religion or spirituality, and in fact, I think I was a little bit allergic to it, especially religion. And then I, in the place where I encountered, first encountered spirituality that opened that door for me, was I lived at a, what was probably called a spiritual commune in the, that came out of Haight Ashbury, called The Farm. And it was probably one of the largest hippie communes of its time. About, when I was there, there were, I think there were about 800 people who lived there in Tennessee, rural Tennessee. And the teacher was kind of a hippie English professor, ex-Marine, named Stephen Gaskin. And he had, you know, and what really surprised me about, what really grabbed me about this community and opened this door to what led me to Buddhism was, they had a practice of honesty. That was their primary spiritual practice, was truth-telling. And the, how they came to it was that their primary spiritual practice had been LSD. But when they moved to Tennessee, that didn't quite work with the local laws. And in fact, Stephen Gaskin was, I think that, They were somehow busted for some kind of drug thing. I forget what it was, but so he spent a year, and he and two or three other of the most senior people in the community spent it. When I arrived, were just ending up their year in jail, and so they had to figure out some other alternative to LSD, and the alternative they came up to with was is truth, being truthful. Isn't that pretty phenomenal that truth can be as powerful as LSD? Maybe it isn't as fun. But so when I came there, this was impressed me. I was so impressed by this that, and watching it in practice, that people would, if there was any interpersonal tension in the community between people, their practice was to stop and talk about it. And When the first people showed up or were dealing with this, they'd have long conversations, and until they found common ground and found a way to work through it. But because they'd been doing it for some time, by the time I got there, it was the people who had done it for a while got really skilled at it. Not only skilled at how to tell the truth, but also how to receive it and recognize it in themselves without being defensive. And the word they used at the farm was they would cop to it. So they kind of cop means, I guess, admit it. And what I saw was sometimes all people would have to do, occasionally some people, all they have to do is look at each other and make a certain look, like, you know, like it's happening. And that was okay, you know, and they copped, you know, okay, you know, that was enough because they got so good at this, they got so familiar with this. This kind of communication. And I was so inspired by this level of honesty and the work of communication that this is why I was only going to be there for 3 days. I was just hitchhiking through and I was going to stop by and check out this place. But I was so inspired by this, I stayed for 4 months, which was kind of a formative time in my life. And I really appreciated this practice of talking and finding our way through this. And it was a little bit of a challenge. And the other thing I discovered there was the Bible of this community was the Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. This is a book by the Zen teacher Suzuki Roshi. And so I read this book, and the book, I was kind of, I don't know if blown away is the right word, but I was deeply impressed by this book because the experience I had of reading it was this person was writing about things I knew but didn't know I knew. It was like, yeah, this I know this or somehow, and it was like, wow. And so it made a big impression on me, this book. And it seemed to me that the book had a lot to do with sitting in meditation, sitting zazen. But they didn't sit much meditation in the form. And so that's one of the reasons why I left, to go find some place where I could go meditate. So I went to Zen Center, where the place where they produced the book in a kind of way. And so eventually I came to Zen Center, and I came to really love the practice of zazen meditation and find it really valuable. But after I was there for a few years, I missed the truth-telling, because Zen Center didn't have the same culture of telling the truth. You know, people sitting down and talking and working things out, and there was a lot of things that were unstated or, you know, kind of hidden, or, I don't know, not as much honesty. The practice of honesty wasn't the spiritual practice there. And so I was kind of disappointed. I kind of missed it. But I found the practice to be so powerful and so valuable, and the community life was very helpful to be there, and there was a lot of goodness in the community. But the role of honesty, that it can be so powerful, it can be a whole practice in itself. And I would, you know, rather than liking it to taking LSD, which maybe I should stop doing, maybe it's, the idea is that it's extremely powerful to learn how to be honest. I think of mindfulness practice as a mindfulness meditation as a practice of honesty, or to say it in a reverse way, that honesty is mindfulness out loud, if you talk honestly. But it goes both directions. So we sit to be honest. We sit to be with what's most true for ourselves, and to learn how to recognize that. And I like the word honesty rather than truth, because truth kind of has a feeling of singularity, like that the truth is like real, or like absolute, or this is, you know, true somehow. But honesty for me is more of a process of recognition, of you're honest about what's happening now. And it's more of a process. It's more like how we are in the world. Or it's, honesty is more about ourselves, I think, my vocabulary, than, whereas, you know, truth is more, you know, can be quite abstract. And some people hide behind the truth so they don't have to look at themselves. They don't have to be honest. So I like the idea that mindfulness is a lot about being honest and learning how to be honest, learning to recognize all the aspects of ourselves, or our foibles, our shortcomings, our resistance, our fears, our conceits, or, you know, all the things that go on, but especially honest about the things we try to avoid. What are we not looking at? What are we not willing to recognize in ourselves? What are we avoiding? And so, and living in community, or being in community, you don't have to live in it, I was just thinking back of living on the farm, but being in some kind of community where we're called upon or challenged, whether it's explicit or just in the nature of implicit community life, to be more honest about ourselves, to see what's going on here. And then to get wise about how we don't do it because of a way in which we objectify. You know, we have opinions and views about this and that. And the currency for many people's how they live their lives and how they live in their social life is to have opinions and views and understandings. And in what way does having opinions and views get in the way of this radical honesty, and turning inwards to oneself and knowing oneself and seeing what's going on, and allows us to be honest? So, you know, for example, if we're angry with someone, we can have a strong opinion about them and what's supposed to happen, but are we willing to look and see, you know, the underlying causes of the anger, the underlying feelings, the underlying ways in which we're projecting outwards, the underlying ways in which we maybe are not, we're kind of severing a connectivity with someone else, where we're kind of feel connected heart to heart, which anger can do. It can kind of sever, can, you know, objectify and keep at a distance. And to really feel and sense that and be honest about that. And sometimes it requires a lot of willingness to be vulnerable, you know, because it's easier sometimes to be less vulnerable if you're projecting and objectifying and seeing a problem out there, but to look in, to be honest. And so I think partly because of the experience I had in the farm, this commune, and also over that was more than 40 years ago, so, you know, I've had a little bit of life experience since then of being in conflict, being in challenging situations and with people. And I kind of have a tremendous trust in this process of honesty, of trying to put everything out on the table, trying to talk about things and being truthful as best we can. It's not always easy, but it can be a practice in its own right. And you might see if you go through your life, if you can find situations where the honesty is the door to greater mindfulness, the door to areas where it's really helpful to be mindful. Some people go through mindfulness practice and they somehow think that mindfulness means, you know, you walk outside, you're aware of the wind, you're aware of the sun, you're aware of the feet touching the ground, and, you know, your sense world. And that's the end of it. Well, it's nice to do that. It's kind of nice, and there's something ultimately wonderful about doing the simplicity of that. That's great. But, you know, sometimes we have deeper needs, and we do that kind of simple entering the moment and being able to be present for the sun, the wind, the asphalt as we walk, so that we can do it for ourselves. So we can have the same kind of simple presence for what's really making us tick, what's really going on inside, what's really the feelings, the emotions, the thoughts, the beliefs, what's really operating in here. And but to be honest with that, to see that. Not to avoid that by being in the present moment with the sun and the trees, but to really show up here for ourselves. So to develop, to see truth-telling, the version of truth-telling which is honesty about what's going on. It doesn't mean that we have to be right. It doesn't have to mean that we're perfect or we even know what's going on. But what I saw on the farm was that it was a collective process, that people didn't have to have it be accurate, or it didn't have to be all skillful and appropriate. They just had to stay and continue talking about what was going on, and then they would work it out together. They'd find a way together. So it wasn't like one person was right and one person was wrong. It's probably better to assume that both people are wrong. Both of you are wrong. You know, both of you are right. And then you find your way, kind of, and learn to go back and forth, and slowly we find our way in that dialogue, in that discussion so truth-telling and honesty as a spiritual practice, that's probably just as good as mindfulness. So that's my thoughts for today. Thank you.